Wonderful to see everybody out this morning. It was a wonderful blessing to be able to gather together and come out to study the Word of God as we have the opportunity to do so. It's a great encouragement to see everybody here. We've already sung in our hymns this morning, what a Savior we have. Gather together to come and to study His Word together, to worship Him and to help one another to continue to fight that good fight. Knowing all that He has done for us, to encourage us to continue on that faithful path as we've been talking about throughout our adult class, making mention of God, you know, telling them all the things He has done and helping them, and of course, and also punishing them that they should realize who He is and why they should obey Him. Something we talked about last week. Why, who is the Lord that we should obey Him? This morning, we're going to talk about what's on the mind of many throughout the world, is talk about Christmas. Christmas in the Bible is what I titled the lesson. I understand I don't do a topical lesson every year, so this one will be another couple years before I do it, unless I see the need of it. But it is something to keep on our minds because it's out there. And I bring it out this year in the matter that my oldest is going to school now, and I know that he's picking up on more stuff lately. And I can recall being in elementary. I don't recall what grade it was, but I can recall coming home and questioning my parents on the subject and then going back to school and talking with my friends and coming back home and talking about the subject, and it's something we need to know about. We need to understand where the Bible stands on the subject, and look to the Word of God for our guidance, for our direction, and how we worship our God, when we worship our God, how we are to act, and of course, we're told that we need to be ready to give an answer for our hope, for our faith in all times. Whenever someone comes to question us, that we can tell them, well, we don't do that, or we do this, but can you explain why? Can we go forth and explain why it is we are separate and different than the rest of the world? So I want to look to the Bible for what it has to say about Christmas. And when we talk about Christmas, the main point is going to be focused on is celebrating Christ's birth on December 25th. Celebrating His birth on the day of Christmas. Now, I want to start off by looking at the point that I believe we too often don't talk about His birth because of this subject. And we neglect to point out that it is in the Bible. That there are lessons to be learned from the birth of Christ. Something that should be taught on from time to time that can be brought out. So I want to point out a few points that should be brought out that are important to know about the birth of Christ. In Matthew chapter 1, if you were to open up and study the beginning of the life of our Lord and Savior, we would see there in verses 22 and 23 that it was a fulfillment of God's prophecy. I mean, we're studying minor prophets right now in the adult class. If we study prophets and we look at what they say, they typically point to our Lord one way or another. And that's what we need to understand, is that this is a fulfillment of God's Word. That the birth of Christ has part in our faith. It does have a part. And we're not saying that it doesn't when we say that we don't celebrate Christ's birth on Christmas. So Matthew 1:22 says, "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us." The one we see here that it was fulfilled, a prophecy. You can start in verse 1 and read through verse 17 and see that it also fulfills the promise, the covenant that God had made with Abraham. And that you can go through the
genealogy, you go through the descendants of Abraham and see how it leads all the way to our Lord and Savior, including being a descendant of King David. These things were promised to them. Once again, fulfilling God's promises, fulfilling God's prophecy that He would send a Savior, send someone to bless all nations. That's an important thing to remember. That's an important thing to teach and keep on our minds. To teach from time to time. To study from time to time. We need to remember that. Also in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, as we think about Jesus being born of a woman, coming down to earth, another lesson we could bring about that is His humbleness. The fact that He was willing to become a little lower than angels, as we read here in Hebrews 2 and verse 9, it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. I mean, He became a little lower than angels. He became human. That's a point that we could bring from the birth of Christ. I've already done a lesson, I believe, since I've been here, talking about the deity of Christ. And that's one of the points, is that He was born just like everyone else here was born. He was born of a woman. And once again, that's a lesson we can teach from these things. We can also go forth and go back to Matthew chapter 2 and see that Christ was hated from the beginning. That the world did not want to accept this gift of God. That the world tried to put a stop to it from the time that He was born. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 3, we see when Herod had seen the news or heard about it, it says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. And all of Jerusalem with him. He was troubled. Of course, we know he had gathered the men together to go and search and ask where he was going to be born. And in verse 12, it says, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So here God warns the men that He had sent not to return to Herod, because Herod was already ready to put an end to our Lord and Savior. In verse 16, we see His reaction to this. It says, and Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he went forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and the discreet from two while they're old under, according to the time he had determined before the wise men. So here, once again, the world hated him from the beginning. We can bring out a lesson about how the Lord was also humble because He wasn't born into riches. You know, He can have anything, create anything, do whatever He pleased. He's from heaven. And yet He was born into, you know, a poor family. He had to work. He had a father who was a carpenter. When He was born, they did not have enough money to persuade someone to let them. You know, there's not enough room in the inn. So they, you know. There are things to be learned about the birth of Christ. Things to be taught from the birth of Christ. And with that being said, though, we get to the point of whether or not that needs to be done on December 25th, or during this time of the season. As many do in the world today. So the question comes out, in the birth of Christ, do we find it anywhere in the Bible that speaks of Christmas, that speaks of December 25th, that speaks of remembering His birth? Doing something in remembrance. And the thing is, you won't find anywhere in the Word of God that says Christmas. Celebrate Christmas. Celebrate Christ's birth on Christmas. You won't find anywhere in the Bible that makes mention of December 25th. Of this day, this national holiday. And making it a religious holiday at that. And nowhere will we find in the Bible that it tells us to do something in remembrance of His Word. Once again, I just pointed out that His birth is in the Bible, something that needs to be taught. It is inspired by God and given to us for a reason, so we know how He was born, how He fulfills the prophecies that were made, that the miracle of being born of the virgin. So there are many things to be brought out about it, but nowhere does it say that we set a specific date aside for that.
like we do for the Lord's Supper, where it tells us, do this in remembrance of my body. Do this in remembrance of my blood. And then having an example in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, telling us when we should do that. We don't have any of those things in the Bible for his birth. We don't have any of those things pointing us in that direction. In fact, if we were to do a study on this holiday, I'm not going to go into a whole lot of great details. I like to stick with the Bible. But if you were to do a study and looking into Christmas on when it began, why it began, and when did they start celebrating Christ's birth on it, you'll come to understand that this holiday was not started with Christ. And you'll do a study and you'll find out that it is a pagan holiday from its beginning. And it is a holiday that they worshiped a god. I believe it was the sun god, I wrote down Martha, son of righteousness. So here is a pagan holiday, a day of, you know, celebrating light overcoming darkness, if I recall what I have read. But it wasn't a day that was given to our Lord and Savior at the beginning. And what I have found, it brings out that Christians did not start celebrating it as the Lord's birthday until about the 4th century. We're talking about hundreds of years down the road that they finally started celebrating the Lord's birth on this day. And so looking at just the history of it, it did not begin then. It is not a religious command that we have from God to do. And with that in our minds, that if it's not something that is commanded to do, we ask, should we celebrate it as the Lord's birthday? Should we make this a religious holiday? My next point is the point that we're not to add to the scriptures. And when we bind a religious holiday on people, when we teach it from the pulpit, and we make it a big thing inside the church, you're adding to the scriptures. There are many examples throughout the Word of God that tell us not to do that. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and in verse 2, we see, even under the old law, that this was a command that they should not add to His Word. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and in verse 2, it says, "You shall not add to the Word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." So here he says, do not add so that you can keep my commandments. Now during this time of the season, since everybody's mind is focused on the Lord because of His birth and they celebrating it during Christmas, you know, that's the mindset and that's what everybody tries to point you to. And yet Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, where is this a command that He has given to us? And everybody's talking about the love of Christ during this. He has not commanded this from us. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 18, Revelation chapter 22, and you read verse 18, it says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book." You read verse 19, it'll talk about taking away from it, not keeping His commandments. So we're not to add nor take away from the words that God has given us, lest we desire Him to add the plagues that are written. If you're willing to study throughout this, you'll see the worst plague is the second death. It's the punishment of God. It is hell. It says if we add to Him that, will be added to us. If we take away from His Word, we'll be taken out of the Book of Life, out of the Holy City, out of all the blessings that He's promised to those who remain faithful until death. We need to realize that. That if we are binding this, if we are teaching this as a religious holiday, as a religious thing, that we are adding to the Scriptures. We are binding where God has not bound. Adding to His Word. One other verse on this point in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, making the same
point here. It says, now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sake, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. Here it says, once the idea came up, and you know, we come up with ideas all the time. Whether or not we should have the projector to help teach the word, or which hymn books that we need to get in order to sing hymns to God, to aid us in worshiping God. And when the idea had come up that whoever thought of it first is to, you know, hey, let's set this day aside. And of course they did it so that they could get away from the pagan holiday, make it a Christian holiday, and start celebrating Christ's birth on Christmas. The question should come up, well, do we have authority? Is it a command from the Word of God? Does He tell us to do these things? And if we don't have authority for it, if we don't have authority from God, from His Word, directing us in that direction, it says, stop there. Don't think any further. Don't add to the Word of God. Colossians 3 and verse 17 tells us, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. And when it's saying that, it's not saying just in your actions, whatever they are, even if they're evil, say, I'm doing this in the name of God. That does. Vainly speaking, carnally teaching, but simply doing as He has commanded us to do, keeping His commandments that He has given to us. We're not supposed to go beyond His words. When we speak, when we teach from the Word of God, we need to teach from the oracles of which He's blessed us with. In 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. As you read there, it says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with all ability, which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We teach. We have to have the Word of God to back up what we teach. When we are ready to give an answer, that means we've studied His Word and we can point to where God has shown us and told us that this is the way we're supposed to live our lives. We don't simply go say, well, I think it's a good idea. Well, that's just my opinion. Well, that's what the Word of God has to say. Let's see what it has to say. Let's see what the Word of God has to say on the subject. I want to go through and make a point this morning on the only verse that I believe that they could try to use, in which they'll try to point out that will allow them to use this as a religious holiday. If you will open your Bibles to Romans chapter 14. In Romans chapter 14, turn along there and read with me. Romans 14, starting in verse 1. It says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received. Who are you to judge another servant? To his own master that stands and or falls. Indeed, he will be and made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another, and another esteems every day alike. Let each man be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he who gives to God thanks, and he does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat to give, and gives God thanks. For none of us live to himself, and none dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. May he come to us earlier. So reading this,
they'll try to use verses 5 and 6 and saying that we're allowed to esteem one day above another. I want to look in this text and see what he's talking about. Look in this text and see who it is Paul's writing to. And remembering the time frame that this is taking place, that this is after the Jews are being brought into the new covenant. And the Gentiles are bringing in into the new covenant. And so therefore they're struggling with the old ways and the new ways. There are many verses that talk about the eating, which is brought out in this point here. It talks about the one who is weak in faith. So there is one who's weaker in faith, one who's stronger in faith. One who is still struggling with the new covenant and holding on to the old covenant. That's what it's talking about. Therefore, there's one that is fully accepted, is more accepting of what the Word of God has been teaching. What is this new covenant that Christ has brought? We need to understand that. That it is talking about two brethren who are struggling with these points. And so therefore it talks about one who eats and one who doesn't. That under the old law there were certain things that they could and could not eat. Now we know that there are many who struggled with accepting eating from things that had been offered up to other idols. We can do a full study on this point alone in that they needed to move on to this new covenant. But in working on this, there's help on another. At this time and point, that it wasn't necessarily, hey, if you want to just, you don't want to eat this meat, you're not in sin if you don't eat. That's fine. And then it goes forth and talks about this, that esteeming one day above another. And this is where they think they got us. This is where it's okay. Once again, we're talking about the old law in which they had feet, in which they kept the Sabbath day, in which they struggled to move on to this new covenant. And as time went by, they're supposed to grow. Understand, we can do a big study on that too. We can turn to Hebrews and see where Paul had made mention time and again that he would say to them, he'd make it known, though you ought to be teachers now, you need someone to teach you again. He would bring out the point that, you know, babes are the ones that need the milk. But we're supposed to grow from that milk to strong meat. That's okay when we first learn the word and we're being converted. And Dave had brought that up in Bible class this morning. That we struggle when we first hear it, when we first accept it. But as time goes by, you're supposed to grow. It's supposed to come to you and acknowledge the truth of the Word of God. So we use this verse, but also apply it with Galatians chapter 4, if you will. In Galatians chapter 4, we see Paul make mention of another point similar to this, and it's more to the Gentiles on this point. And in Galatians chapter 4, and starting in verse 8, and I don't plan on reading all these verses, but 8 through 20 is the summary and the full talk that he's bringing out. But starting in verse 8, it says, but then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. Once again, they're worshiping idols. They were caught up in worshiping others. Verse 9, it says, but now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Here it brings out, because they were caught up in these other ways, and they had these days and seasons and times in which they worshiped these gods and these idols. They were going back to those old ways. He was scared of them. He wanted them to stop. He wanted them to stay in what is right. Once again, you jump down towards the end of the verses that I have up here. You jump down to about verse 16 with me. Verse 16 says, have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously court you, but no good for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you that you may be zealous for them. But it is good to be zealous in the good things always and not only when I am present with my little children for whom I labor and birth again until Christ formed in you. I would like to be present with you now. And to change my tone. or I have doubts about.
Here they were getting caught up in holding days and seasons and times for the wrong reason. Peter brings out, we need to be cautious. Not to add to the Word of God. Not to bind where God has not been. We are not supposed to hold religious holidays. We're to add to the Word of God. We need to teach about the birth of Christ. But it's something that can be taught any time of the year. That can be in the lessons about miracles, lessons about prophecy, lessons about fulfillment, lessons about humbleness. But to say that this is the holiday, and this is when we're doing it, and this is the reason for the season, and this, to bind where God has not bound is adding to the word. To go beyond His word. We need to remember these things. We need to keep them on our mind when religious holidays or holidays in any matter come through. Because it's during this time that, especially around Christmas, closer to it, the Sunday before or the Sunday after, you'll have more in attendance. Same thing comes along when it's Easter. And a lot of times you'll see the same thing for Mother's and Father's Day. Because they gather together with their families then. We need to remember that the lessons they try to teach for the reason of this season is lessons we need to have with us at all times. Of being humble, of the love of God, of the sacrifice that He has made for us. That's something we need to remember all of us. Not just once or twice a year. Not just for a short time in life. Now with these points, you'll have to make a decision for yourself also. Many say you play too close if you celebrate Christmas at all. That if you put up the tree and the lights and exchange gifts, that you're too close to the pagan holiday or celebrating the birth of Christ. So again, I think that's going to have to be on your own faith, where you stand and draw the line for yourself. If you feel like you are serving pagan idols due to the holiday, probably ought to stop. Or if you feel that you're getting pulled in and you're doing it because you feel like you have to, as Tom brought out in class this morning, he said, you know, that they are covering their bases, so they go ahead and just do it because that's what everybody else is doing. So again, if it's restricting your faith, if it causes you to think your conscience, causes your conscience to question things, you might want to take a step back. I'm not here saying whether or not you can have a Christmas tree. I'm not here saying whether or not you can exchange gifts and get together with family. I enjoy doing those things. But I'm here and I'm saying that it is not a religious goal. I'm here saying that we need to remember the birth of Christ, but not just on December 25th. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning. If you're here, you need to obey the Word of God for any reason, because you know the truth, because you know who Jesus is. You believe that He is the Son of God, that He is our Savior, and that through only His blood that your sins can be washed away. We extend that opportunity. Or if you're here this morning, you need the Lord's congregation. Whatever we can do for you, we let you know as it stands.
What will it be? What will it be?